You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Older people, bruised by hard knocks, often have very wrong ideas about what life really is.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Make us alive by faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. Through his resurrection, give us hope and courage to live by the power of your Spirit, not to sin which kills, but by your Spirit which makes alive. In the name of Jesus our Savior, amen. It's hard to talk to people today about things spiritual. They don't understand that kind of language. A great many people are totally ignorant of the Bible, and others don't have any idea what the Bible is talking about. When you mention words like flesh and spirit, they just have a blank look, or they formulate ideas of their own about what these terms mean, instead of letting the Bible talk for itself. Every time you talk over the air, you have to ask yourself, will these words make any sense to people? Are they going to get what the Bible says? Take, for example, these two sentences from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, where he writes about the flesh and the spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. But you are not in the flesh, you are in the spirit. If the spirit of God really dwells in you, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through the Spirit, which dwells in you. Did you understand that? Or is it just a collection of meaningless words with no relation to real life? Is it possible that the life we think so real in this mixed-up world of ours is the one that is actually unreal? If the words don't mean anything to us anymore, is it because our values and our standards have become completely cockeyed? Is it possible that the most righteous people in the world, the most respectable, could turn out to be the worst criminals and the greatest sinners? You bet your life it's possible. That's what St. Paul is saying. It is also possible that the worst criminals and the greatest sinners can turn out to be children of God. If one thing happens, if the Spirit of God gets hold of them. The trouble with our world is that there's so much living death around. So many who think of themselves as alive are really dead. It is the walking death people prefer to ignore. It's the stuff that leads nowhere but to death. It is the bright lights that are going to go out. It's the thing that makes people who have everything jump out of the window. Whatever it is that causes people to lose life, real life, that's death. But hearing the word flesh and then the other word spirit, what flashes across your mind? Mental pictures for flesh probably include garish ads for movies that you see in the newspapers, in pornographic magazines on the newsstands, and the goings-on in the red light districts of the world. We think of the murderer, the rapist, the alcoholic, the hijacker, the prostitute, the embezzler, the drug addict, the pervert. That's flesh. Fleshly people are criminal. Or to use the newer terminology, antisocial. They have fleshly desires, and those desires are their undoing. Respectable people don't have those desires, and they don't do those things. Or at least they don't get caught at them. Respectability, which all of us know is a very fragile thing, makes people feel very self-righteous. It makes them feel smug, self-sufficient, and superior. Would you say that smugness, pride, and feelings of superiority have nothing to do with the flesh? That they do not produce their own kind of havoc in the world? That they do not drive people to the same end, which is death? What about spirit? Here people think about a family going to church, a man whose head is bowed in prayer, a religious picture on the wall, a baptismal or confirmation certificate, a church offering envelope, a crucifix, and maybe even a Bible. There's nothing wrong with those pictures. But do they really represent spirit? If that is all there is to spirit, what about sex, work, money, pleasure, research, education, and even a bank account? Are they something unspiritual? Do they have to belong to the flesh? Does it mean that things, all things, represent hostility toward God? Isn't that actually what a lot of people think? St. Paul cuts through all of that confusion. If people misunderstand flesh and spirit, he does not. He uses other words to define what he means. To set the mind on the flesh, he says, is death. But to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. Death and life are easy to get a handle on. Ask children to portray death, and you come up with pictures of a cemetery, an old automobile wreck, cigarettes, starvation, war, and drugs. For life, they will show the beauties of nature, laughter, lovers, Holy Communion, the cross, the birth of a baby, a cheering crowd. Children are often a lot closer to reality than their elders. Older people, bruised by hard knocks, with the scars of life upon them, often have very wrong ideas about what life really is. St. Paul may have had the mind of a giant, but he had the heart of a child. He understood life. Death is more than going into the grave. A person can be functioning and yet live life in such a way that he wastes it and abuses it. He is consumed by greed and hate and lust. He fails to find meaning and value and worth in life. That's not life. It is death. Life is more than being born, more than breathing, walking, talking, digesting, and reproducing. To be dead is to be hostile to God, to goodness, to peace, to love, to service, to caring, to having communion with one another. To be alive is to have a new lease on life, one that won't run out. It's to enjoy forgiveness and hope. It is to have the capacity to serve, to love, and to worship. St. Paul said that setting the mind on the flesh is death, but that setting the mind on the spirit is life and peace. To have the Holy Spirit of the living God is to have forgiveness, to be free from sin, law, wrath, and death. It doesn't mean that these things no longer exist, but they no longer have the same influence over the life of one who has the Spirit. It means they no longer have the power of life, that there is a new power, which is the Spirit of Jesus Christ, living right within people. That's not death, but life. Being dead or alive, then, is really a matter of what a person sets his mind on the works of death or on the gifts of life. Death is the end of the road for false trust, for setting up values and seeking goals that are purely in the interest of oneself, that are against God and also against others. Life is the gift of faith. It is a recognition of God's power, a reception of His mercy, a rejoicing in His forgiveness, which comes to people through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what the Spirit of God brings. Having God's Spirit in you is to have all of those things. It's to have life. You're either going to be dead or alive, depending on what you set your mind on. St. Paul is not talking about a utopia, as some of his followers have done, who imagine that people are either all flesh or all spirit. Life isn't that way. St. Paul never thought it was. We are all influenced by the flesh. We all have it with us. I do, and so do you. The flesh is very much with us in our disobedience and stubbornness, in our worldliness and materialism, in our selfishness and self-service, in our apathy and lethargy. It is with us in our pettiness and our lovelessness. Death is everywhere in our own land. It is in your life as it is in mine. Why then talk about the spirit at all? Isn't that really futile? No, said Paul, it is not futile. Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. He died for the sins of the world, and in him there's forgiveness for sins. He was raised from death to life again, and there is life in the world in him. There's life for people like you and me. There's life in a world of death. I know that is hard to understand. It is hard to believe. I wouldn't believe it either if it weren't for Jesus Christ. He is the guarantee to me, as he was to St. Paul, that it is really true. It is possible to have the Spirit of God within you, dwelling within you, and to have life through that indwelling Spirit. It is not either or, but both and. It is not either the flesh or the spirit, but both the flesh and the spirit. The and in this case is a really important fact of life. Jesus Christ entered our real world. He died for the real sins of real people like us. He gives faith to people like us who have all the doubts other people have. He calls to people like us who have all the reluctance other people have to follow him. He sends his spirit to dwell within people like that, people like you and me, in order to give new life where the flesh is no longer king, but his spirit rules. Some people conclude that because they see the flesh within themselves, they do not have the Holy Spirit. Others decide that since they've been filled with the Holy Spirit, they are no longer capable of acts that can be called fleshly. Of course they can. All who follow Christ are made up of the flesh and of the Spirit. All of us are tempted to go our own way instead of God's way. All of us have those moments when we yield to such temptations. We may not yield gladly, willingly, and enthusiastically. Nevertheless, we do yield. That's a tragic moment for anyone, but never so tragic as for the one who imagines that the presence of the fleshly rules out completely the power of God's Holy Spirit. St. Paul says that Christians, good Christians, are still sinners. St. John said the same thing. If we say, we Christians, that we have no sin within us, we are liars. That's what St. John said. We have hostilities too, toward God and toward others. Despite our best intentions, many times we live to know the consequences of our own waywardness and willfulness. Ultimately, in our own death, we receive the payment of the flesh. But there's another side to life. For anyone who knows Jesus Christ, trusts Jesus Christ, and follows Jesus Christ, there are faith and hope and love and peace. They are gifts from God. He gives them with his Spirit to set people going in another direction. There is that side of every Christian where he struggles and fights against the desires and the demands to pull away from God and from others and to turn in upon himself. That struggle is a reality for everyone who really knows God and also knows himself. We know it when things go well for us in life. We know it when things go sour. We're always tempted to pride or despair. Don't let that discourage you. That's life. It's life, that is, when the Spirit of God dwells within you. You are not really in the flesh, controlled by that. If the Spirit of God really dwells in you, you are in the Spirit if the Spirit of God dwells in you. There's a power there to give you life when you see death all around you. The flesh is discouraging, I know, because it drags you down. Take heart. The fact that you have the flesh does not mean that you are losing your faith, or that the Spirit no longer dwells within you. Take it as a sign that you are caught up in a way of life against death, and that the Spirit is fortifying you constantly to fight that fight. If the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead dwells within you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through the Spirit which dwells in you. Set your mind on the Spirit, who is life and peace. That is to be alive. Everything else is to be dead. That is the either-or, either dead or alive. St. Paul makes the daring assertion that we who have the flesh with us, who are sinful, fallen, or human, whatever term you want to use, as we are, all of us, can be alive in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is for real. He was a man like you. He is a man like you. St. Paul said that God sent Jesus in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, that he might condemn sin in the flesh. That says something more than the simple fact that Jesus was a flesh and blood person like the rest of us. It says that Jesus did not die simply as a man, but as a sinful man. He was made to be sin for us. St. Paul believed in the sinlessness of Jesus, but he makes it quite clear that Jesus Christ took upon himself our flesh, our miserable flesh. He didn't just die. He was condemned. When he died with our sinful flesh, he put that sinful flesh to death. He conquered sin, death, and the grave. He overcame the world with all of its fleshly attraction. And he took away from the devil the power to accuse anyone of a sin that has been forgiven. We do have the flesh with us, all of us. Death is a present reality. But the greatness about Jesus Christ is that he robbed the flesh of its condemning power. He was condemned all for us. And he was raised from the dead. Everyone who is in Jesus Christ is alive, forgiven, with new power to combat that old flesh that leads but to death. He has delivered that man from the power of sin and from the condemnation of the law of God himself, from the scorn of God's wrath and from the destiny of death. The death that is complete alienation from God. In Christ, there's resurrection to life. The truth is that in these mortal bodies of ours, we can live the life of God's Son, which is the life of his Spirit, with all the power of God's Spirit. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit, which dwells in you. So, my friend, set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Let the living Christ and his life-giving word set you on the road to seek those things that are above. Let the Spirit of God strengthen your faith and your love. Aim at using the life he gives you to serve God and his people. Go at your opportunities and challenges, your sicknesses and setbacks, your relationships and your responsibilities with a new heart. Set your mind on the Spirit in Jesus Christ. Be not dead, but alive. Amen.